Are you looking to modernize your veterinary practice by offering virtual care to pet owners? Fortunately, there's an easy solution from the podcast sponsor, Medici. That's M-E-D-I-C-I. Medici is a telehealth solution built for veterinarians. I've made it easy to check out Medici with a link in the show notes, or you can head over to their website, medici.md, or call 512-967-6454 to learn more. Medici lets you text, call, and video chat with clients with their easy-to-use app. Send or receive images and videos of pets, stay VCPR compliant, and get paid, which is always a wonderful thing, for delivering convenient care right from your phone.
Hi, this is Dr. Aaron Smiley, and I've offered telemedicine to my clients since I started. In 2017, I integrated paid telemedicine with Medici.
Ready to go virtual? Visit medici.md, that's M-E-D-I-C-I.md, or call 512-967-6454 to learn more. And with that, here's the show.
You're listening to the Veterinary Success Podcast. My name is Isaiah Douglas. Today I'm joined by Bobby Lynn with Car Realty. Bobby, thanks so much for joining me today.
Absolutely, Isaiah. Appreciate you inviting me onto the show today.
Yeah, so this is another local podcast that we're able to record together in person, which is great with Bobby being in the Indianapolis area. And Bobby, I want to talk about real estate today, which is up your alley. And can you kind of tell people a little history about yourself? What is tenant representation? Why is it important in real estate? And yeah, we'll start there.
Absolutely. Quick introduction. So I work for Car Healthcare Realty, as was mentioned by Isaiah. And we do tenant and buyer representation only. That's our first niche. But then the secondary piece to it is we exclusively represent healthcare professionals. So veterinarians being one of our main verticals. And then other verticals such as dentists, optometrists, and any other medical professional. Why we do tenant and buyer representation only is we never want to have an issue of dual representation with our clients, and we want to make sure that our clients see and have all the options available to them in the marketplace. So when we're working with our clients, we're never working with any landlords is what that means, and we're going to exclusively represent our clients and help them see any and all opportunities that are in the market, and be able to help evaluate both leasing opportunities and then purchasing opportunities as well.
Makes complete sense. And it's very similar to some of the conversations we've had in the podcast, even on the financial services piece of best interest and kind of that fiduciary role of being a professional there, where you're really only representing one person instead of having some of those conflicts that are out there.
Yep.
Can you share a little bit about your background?
Yeah, absolutely.
And why you decided to get into this business and represent healthcare professionals?
Yeah, so my background out of school, I actually was in the financial services industry for about 6 months out of college. Had a great experience with it, but quickly found my way into the dental space and sold dental equipment and technology for about 4 years. Coming out of school, always wanted to get into medical device, and had an opportunity to get into the medical device industry and sold respiratory therapy equipment to the hospitals for about 18 months, but quickly realized that I had the opportunity to work with small business owners when I was working in the dental space, comparing that to working with the hospitals and having to work with all the different verticals. And I really missed, when I was doing that, working directly with that business owner and really helping them make decisions for their business. So I'd always had an interest in real estate, never knew how I might get into it, and got a call from a mentor of mine that I had worked with when I was in the dental space that they were looking for someone to cover the Indiana market for Car Realty, and was able to engage in conversations and had those conversations about 3 years ago. And now here we are 3 years down the road and have had the opportunity to help many, many clients across the state.
When you think about sitting down with a veterinarian, how do you help them decide what makes the most sense from a buy or lease?
Yeah.
Like, where do you start?
Yeah, so every situation is different. You know, I think that you hear that from just about anyone and everyone you talk to. Every situation is different. It's going to depend on if the client is a new veterinarian owner and this is their first practice, because the banking and their financing, what they're able to do, is going to help dictate what decisions we have. And if they're a business owner and they've been in practice for many years and they've got that cash available to be able to put a down payment down or go SBA, whatever options we have on the financing side, we can evaluate purchasing or continuing to lease or relocation options. But a lot of it comes down to what my client's goals and what they want to have down the road. Some of them love the idea of building a building and earning equity in it and having that to retire on or be able to lease out down the road. But some of them just want to be able to come into their business, work their day, and then be able to leave and not have any responsibilities in regards to the building, maintenance, and all those different areas. And for those clients, leasing is the best option. It's also going to come down to location and all those other bits fits and what's needed for their business.
What do you see from a trend perspective right now? Is it more lease opportunities that you're having conversations? Is it more people looking to buy?
Yeah. So again, among all those different areas, it's going to be different. But I find that most of my clients, their end goal is to be able to buy a building or build a building so that then they do build that equity down the road. Now, markets are going to be different too. I know we've got people listening from all over the place. And depending on the market you're in, some areas you're going to be able to find land and put a building up or be able to buy a building, and it's going to make a lot of sense. But some markets that we work in, the markets only allow for leasing opportunities. So in those situations, we've really only got that one focus. So location is going to help dictate a lot of those conversations. But I'd say the trend here in the Midwest is a lot of clients want to have ownership in their building and be able to build that equity over time. And then sometimes be able to build big enough to have additional tenants in their space in their buildings. And those are areas that we can help advise and put deals together as well.
Perfect. And just from a, you know, again, a financial perspective a little bit, everyone wants to talk about how great owning real estate is.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's the easiest first step into being a landlord is,
yep,
you know, owning that building,
yep,
and then leasing it back to the business. And it's a great structure for a lot of different ways, especially as you're becoming an owner and taxes become an issue.
Yes.
And seeing,
yes,
some advantageous structures,
oh, yeah,
that way.
Oh, yeah.
A good CPA.
Yep. And one of the tools we work with all of our clients, and I think we're going to touch on these a little bit later in the conversation as well, but we've got spreadsheets that we run for our clients that compare leasing compared to purchasing, and it compares it over a period of time. So a lot of times we'll show an example of a 10-year lease and what the total cost is going to be on that lease, including the build out, monthly rent, and all those different areas, and then compare it to purchasing and with whatever the down payment is. And then at the bottom of those 10 years, it's going to show you the tax write-offs and all of those incentives, but then it will also show you after 10 years the amount of equity that you would actually have in that building. So it can help make sense of financially your picture. And we always defer to our financial planners and CPAs to say, you know, ultimately run these by them, but it's a good tool to help get a look at what options you have and what it looks like down the road for whichever decision you're wanting to go.
Sure. And talking about tools, let's...
Yeah. Yeah.
Go right there and,
yeah,
and jump into that. One of the things that you shared with me, and I think it would be particularly interesting for a lot of people listening, thinking maybe of a startup or, you know, what are some of the tools or resources that you can offer that can help someone decide where to go?
Yeah, so especially in that startup world, you always hear it, location, location, location. That's going to be one of, if not the most important part of the decision on where you want to go and where you want to look. So we have a couple different tools that we use, one of which is we work with a marketing group that actually specializes in the veterinarian space. And what they'll do is they'll put together some initial demographic reporting for us that'll help compare population to veterinarian hospitals in that given area. Then also it'll go further and it'll look in those zip codes and it'll say, just through studies and through reports that have been done, how many pets there are per household. And then it'll also look at other specialists that are in that area too, to help give you a guideline of where might be a good place to at least start our search from a demographic standpoint, because that's one of the most important things is you don't want to go into an oversaturated area, you know, if you're going to focus on the same focus as everyone else is in that backyard. If you're going to be a little bit different and you've got a different focus, then you can still do that sometimes. But a lot of the time, it just gives us a good starting point on where we want to look, and it can help reaffirm if we've got an ideal location that this is the right place to be. Or it might tell us that, you know, it's oversaturated. Let's see if there's somewhere else, you know, right in this area that we can focus into. So location-wise, that's one of the tools we use. After we do that, you know, the conversation we have with our clients is leasing or purchasing. Once we decide in that location where we want to go, we go into our database and we'll search for any and all opportunities that fit what we're looking for. A lot of the time on the startup side, we're looking for a 2,000, 2,500 square foot space to do that startup business in. We don't want it to be too small to where we can't grow into that space. That's one of the biggest mistakes I see with some of people that have done this their first go around, is they don't get in a space that's large enough for them to be able to grow into, and then they've outgrown that space in 3 to 5 years and they've got to spend all that money on a build out again to relocate. So we want to have enough space that we're planning for the future, but also not too much space to where we're paying more money than we need on a lease or purchasing it. So when we're looking for areas and spots, we use different tools to be able to help go through. We do everything from looking on Craigslist to driving the area to then looking at our database report, which is called CoStar, to help dive into the market. So to put together our tours and to work with our clients in those areas.
So a lot of resources that are there. What are some of the key costs that you look at?
Yeah.
With spaces, any,
yeah,
you know, guidelines, rules of thumb? I know that can be dangerous depending on the location of where,
yep,
you're at, but we'll focus again in the Midwest with,
yep,
with where we're at.
Yeah, so a couple different considerations. One is on the purchasing side. If we're looking at a building purchase, we want to know what the existing state of that building is to know, okay, we might be saying we're going to buy this for a great price, but then we're going to have to completely renovate this building. And through that renovation, we're going to spend as much money as it might cost to buy land and to actually put a new building up that you could move right into. So we really want to focus into the renovation costs that go into putting that together and the full picture once you're moved into it. On the leasing side, a lot of the time, the discussions that we're starting with, and we always joke and say, negotiations start on our first phone call to the landlord. So when we're doing our due diligence for our clients and we're starting to call landlords, we're having some conversations early on, prepping the landlord to be in a position where they know that they're going to have to fight for the business of the veterinarian that we're working with, because vets have the lowest default rate in the industry on a leasing perspective. They are great tenants, and we're having to educate the landlords on that sometimes. One area that we see is a miss a lot of the time is focusing on, you know, not wanting to commit to a long-term lease and just doing a 2, 3, 4, 5 year lease. Well, in those situations, as a tenant, you're having to put the majority of that build out on your own shoulders. So a veterinarian build out costs, you know, somewhere between $90 to $120 a square foot on average. And if you're putting all that money into that space, more than likely in 3 to 5 years down the road when that lease is expired, that landlord knows you don't have any other options because you're still paying off that build out loan and you're gonna have to stay put. So what we do is we like to maximize that initial lease term. We wanna put a longer term lease in place, especially for these startups that are first doing this build out, because we get a lot more concessions from the landlord in regards to build out, free rent, and all those items that just help the business get going and running from a successful standpoint, and lower lease rates at the beginning of the term when you're building your business so that then you've got that opportunity to grow into it. And then 5 years down the road, you don't have to relocate and spend all that money on a new build out. So those are some of the areas that we see misses in and some of the big areas that we focus on.
So you talked a little bit about renovation, relocation, tenant improvement, or TIs it's called.
Yep.
Do you have any statistics or numbers or thoughts around the challenges of needing to relocate and maybe losing some clients based on that, if you move too far away or having those conversations when you're evaluating stay or go?
Yep. So again, market's going to dictate. Every location is different. I've probably said that 3 or 4 times already. But location is different, and we typically tell our clients you want to stay within a 2 mile radius of your current location. If we can get to 1.5 miles, if you're really looking at a relocation, 1.5 miles is more ideal. The way that we want to look at it is, you know, in every market, if it's a market where drive times are a lot longer, then of course we want to shorten that radius and we want to make it a smaller area that we're going to look at. But if we've got, you know, decent traffic times, we're able to get from point A to point B pretty quickly, 1.5 to 2 miles is an okay radius to be able to look if we're going to relocate. Again, it's always nice if we can stay put and continue to build our business at that same location, but pending what our current situation is, we need to look at other options, of course.
Leads me into another question, success story. Do you have any success stories or kind of an example you could walk someone through from initial reaching out and say, hey, Bobby, I'm thinking about doing this. Can you help me? And what that looked like ultimately?
One story that comes to mind was a client that I had just recently. And one of the areas that we help a lot of our clients with are in renegotiations. So say you signed an initial lease that maybe was a 10-year term, and that 10-year term has expired or is about to expire in the next year or two. Well, it's the right time, you know, a year to 18 months to actually engage in new conversation about what we want to be doing. Do we want to stay put? Do we want to relocate? Do we want to buy a building? And if we say that we're okay staying put, if the current landlord will work with us, then we've got the opportunity to then go to market, find out if there are other opportunities and other options in that market, then go back to the current landlord and use that posturing that we have and those other opportunities as negotiation tools. Well, that was the situation with my client that I worked with, was we went to market. He said, if we can stay here, that'd be great. There's another location that's larger in this building that we could do a new build out in if the landlord will work with us. But if the landlord's not going to work with us, there are other opportunities, and he wasn't scared to look elsewhere. So we looked elsewhere. We found a few different opportunities, fully negotiated a new deal at a new location, which was an amazing deal. We were able to cut his lease rate significantly, get a very high tenant improvement dollar budget to where that landlord he was looking at moving to was wanting to attract him and get him there. So he was willing to invest in his space. And then also the landlord would give free rent until his current lease expired. So we went back to the current landlord after we had the deal fully negotiated. Current landlord wasn't willing hardly anything for us, wasn't willing to budge on the rent rate if we were to take a larger space and all those different things. So we had the other deal fully negotiated. He ended up relocating his business, his hospital, and ended up having, I think it ended up being 9 months of free rent once he got into his building because that new landlord said, we'll give you free rent until your other lease expires. So he went from a 1900 square foot space up to a 4200 square foot space. So he was producing out of a larger space, being able to you know, increase his revenue over those 9 months, not pay rent on the larger space, just the smaller, get fully moved in, have a new build out pretty much right across the street. So really cool story that I loved working with that client and seeing what we were able to do for him.
Yeah, that's fantastic from the standpoint of the impact of that and the dollars and cents from a savings, but also, you know, improving client experience. So when someone walks in the door and seeing that, I'm sure the new space with it being built out and looking fresh with some of that tenant improvement dollars made a huge difference as well. So
awesome.
When you think about biggest mistakes, you touched on maybe getting too small of a space.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that from a veterinary perspective that you see them make?
Yeah. So one thing that I see a lot of, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, but old cottage homes that just end up being a money pit that you've got to put more and more money towards. So it's doing the due diligence on the front end. That's not a bad solution, but it's just making sure that we've done that due diligence on the front end to know that this is what we're going to move into. I touched on it earlier that, you know, sometimes you'll buy a building and then you'll have to put a lot more money initially planned into it. And that's something that I see sometimes. On the leasing standpoint, I mentioned it earlier, is really focusing on having a short-term lease. And when we've got that short-term lease in place, that can be a great thing for flexibility for your business. But at the same time, we're not getting all those concessions that will help your business grow and be successful by getting more free rent, by getting more money from the landlord for that build out. So it's sometimes focusing too much on a short-term lease versus the options that you get when you do a longer-term lease, depending the situation on a startup when you know that you're going to have to invest a lot of money into that space. And then, like I said earlier, with the size of the building, focusing on not having enough space to grow into and having that flexibility once your business gets going. So those are some of the biggest pitfalls that we see.
I know Bobby might not necessarily say it, but I'll kind of address. So one of the things that I'm sure a lot of people are thinking is, you know, what does everything cost?
Yeah.
And so when you think about tenant representation, so what Bobby does is he is representing you on your behalf. And then similar to if you sold a house and you have a real estate agent, they collect their commission or money from that seller. So that landlord is who would pay Bobby. So it's a great resource to have someone on your team working for you. And also,
I always love talking. I'm actually not at all shy to talk because that's my favorite part of the whole puzzle is our representation comes at no cost to our clients. And we're able to bring tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars to that deal over whatever the term might be in value to our clients. So, and like Isaiah said, I always equate it to just like if you're going and buying a house, you know that you've got the right to have representation and you're not going to pay them anything. There's already a set aside commission that's there. And we end up splitting that commission with the listing broker if there's a listing broker in place. And if we're not there, a lot of the times that listing broker ends up taking the full commission. So it's already a cost that's built into whatever the deal like. So you're only losing opportunity if you're not working with a tenant broker.
Absolutely. And you talked about impact. I know you showed me some examples that are significant. Can you give someone listening, you know, what kind of dollar amounts over, you know, a lease period? Can you give some examples there of dollars saved or?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, just if you're looking at a 10-year lease, and if we're looking at, let's say, 2,000 square foot space and $2 a square foot over that 10 years, it's going to be a dramatic financial impact to the business. So again, looking at that example of, you know, a 2,000 square foot space, if you're paying $2.50 more than you should on that lease over a 10-year period, you're going to end up spending $50,000 more on that lease over that 10-year term. So again, getting the right market rate is extremely important and just looking at those factors. And then again, if you're going to a landlord and the landlord has a build out set aside, but you don't ask for that build out money, so that those tenant improvement dollars, the landlord's not just going to necessarily give it to you if you don't ask for, but he might already have that money set aside and built into the lease rate. But if you don't ask for it, he's not going to just offer it up in most cases. So not asking for the right concessions is also a big piece in regards to tenant improvement, free rent. And then another big miss we see a lot of the time is we want to make sure that we're not going to start paying rent until we're into that space. And then we've also got a free rent period. So we typically ask for a 5-month build out period where while you're doing your build out for your business, the lease is not actually going to commence until that build out is completed. And then once the lease commences, you've got that free rent period as well. Again, all very minute things that if you don't understand them on the front end, they can be misses on the back end once you've got that deal done that you might have had an opportunity for.
Yeah, significant dollars and cents. I think about, you know, $50,000
for
10 years. Like, what else can you be doing with that money? It could be raises to staff. It could be putting in a retirement plan. It could be, you know, paying down debt. All these different things. It's a huge expense, which is why I wanted to make sure we had this conversation. That way, when people are looking and thinking about their real estate need or the practice, hospital, clinic, that they're, you know, working with someone that is a tenant representation, you know, broker that can help advise them on what they need to do. Anything that I failed to ask that you think is really, really important to address or go through or talk about in regards to this?
Good question. I think having a team in place on the front end, so it can really help your business grow, especially from the startup standpoint. So having a team in place that can help you on your lease, that can help you with the equipment and then your layout of your practice, your hospital, those are all important pieces to have in place so that then when you go to do it, you can go through that process and be as efficient as possible. And then also having a contractor in place that has done this before. If you work with a contractor that hasn't done other veterinarian hospitals, when it comes to the plumbing and those other items, you may end up paying a lot more than you've initially been told you're going to pay because of the change orders that come in. So it's not always the best decision to go with the lowest bid when you're looking at a contractor coming in and doing the work, but doing a, you know, looking at that budget, making sure that those contractors have done work in the vet space. Those are all important considerations. So having a good team put together and people that you like and that you want to work with, those are all important considerations.
Yeah, and if you think about, so contractors, great point, Bobby, and if you are listening and you're thinking about, okay, construction and that whole concept, episode 9, Jim Bridenstine talks about this.
Oh, that's great, yep.
And Jim was one of the other local ones that I recorded. Great, you know, from the construction side, done a lot of vet. And a wonderful person that I know that you've worked with on several different projects as well. So if you want to reference that kind of in tandem, Jim also kind of mentioned, you know, hey, you need the person that's going to help you find the space. So these two kind of coincide with each other. And from a timing perspective, I think both of them could be listened to together as you start evaluating these things.
Yep.
So the podcast is all around success. And I know that success has a lot of different meanings depending on who you're asking.
Yeah.
Bobby, what does success look like from a professional and personal angle for you?
Yeah, so I've always been in business. I've been in different levels of sales, and for me, it's been being able to help people. I enjoy going through the process with my clients, and at the end of the day, seeing them in the right space that, you know, they're able to build a successful business, and then also building a friendship with my clients and being able to see that I truly was able to help them through the process. And just the gratefulness for being able to go through the process with my clients is the best part that I feel taking away. Of course, getting paid is a great piece of that too. And being able to make money while making people happy is something that I truly appreciate and love. And then on the personal side, it's the same thing. It's being able to go home at the end of the day and know that I've done something that's impactful for people and their families and their lives, and being able to help others. So for me, that's kind of the key, is being able to help and be there for other people.
No, it's a great overview of what it means, I mean, really to serve and take care of other people. And yeah, I mean, you can't be a charity. You can't help people if you don't have any way of, you know, charging for your services. It's just the structure of the way you're able to do it is very beneficial from a veterinarian perspective. So
that's
also very helpful. Yeah. If someone's listening and very interested in the services, you mentioned that, you know, CAR is national. So I think that can help regardless of where you're listening. There's going to be someone in that area that can certainly help. Where would you direct them, send them? Where can they read more, get more information, educate themselves about this whole aspect of?
We've got a website, of course. It's car.us, so CARR.US. And on the website, we've got a lot of different tools and resources. So there's a blog that we've got, and then just different resources and articles that you can take a look through. And then also, if you want to search for a local broker, we've got that tool on the website as well that you can go into. Or you can feel free to reach out to me. My name is Bobby Lind again, and my email is Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, dot Lind, L-I-N-D, and it's at CARR, C-A-R-R dot U-S. And I'd be happy to answer any questions, point you in the right direction if you're in a different state or different area, to who would reach out to you and who you could talk to. But again, our website would have all that information as well.
It's a perfect place to send them. Bobby, thanks so much for the time. Covered a lot.
Yeah.
But it's really good information. I think most people probably don't realize or know anything about, but there's significant savings and advantages to having this conversation. So thank you so much.
No, and I appreciate you having me on and being able to talk to your listeners. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's show. The comments made on today's show should not be taken as investment, tax, or legal advice. All comments are for educational purposes only. You should talk to your professional team before implementing anything. Isaiah is the founder of ID Financial Planning and Wealth Management. Isaiah is a registered investment advisor in the state of Indiana. The biggest compliment you can give is to share this podcast with a friend. Reviews help the show get found, and Apple Podcasts is a platform that is predominantly how people listen to the show. If you have 3 minutes, love the show, head over to Apple Podcasts and give us an honest review and rating. That'll help more people find the show. For all of today's links and information, head over to theveterinarysuccesspodcast.com. There you can also subscribe via your favorite podcast platform so you won't miss another episode. Finally, if you'd like more information and insights and the ability to have your voice heard, please consider joining the private podcast Facebook group. You can search for the Veterinary Success Podcast on Facebook or head over to theveterinarysuccesspodcast.com, scroll down to the About Your Host and click on the Facebook icon. Then I can approve you, let you into the group, and would love to hear from you there. Thanks for listening, and I'll be talking again to you soon.